Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And our study is on 2 Corinthians, and today we are in Lesson 3 that is about what Paul wrote in Chapter 3. So let us begin our study by going to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord of lords and King of kings, how wonderful it is that we can come to you in prayer and that you're always there for us. And I pray now as we study in your book, your truths, as we are being led by the Holy Spirit, that you will instill your word into us and help us to have the wisdom and the knowledge of your truths, that we may glorify you, Father, and that we may go out and tell others about Jesus, that you will be well pleased in us, Father, because we know we can do nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. As we begin this lesson, which is Lesson 3 of 2 Corinthians, we kind of want to look back and review what we learned in the first two lessons and what were they about. And the letter began with Paul and Timothy telling the Corinthians about comfort in affliction. The God of all comfort gives so others can be comforted, and we can't find that comfort except in him. So Paul explained why that his plans to visit Corinth changed. He didn't want to go again to be sorrowful, so he spared the Corinthians by not going to see them at that time. And he had visited them more than once, and he had written to them before. And they needed to practice forgiveness with each other. And Paul wrote that because they had written him a letter saying that there was disturbance in the church. And what Paul was doing in writing this letter was responding to what they had written to him about. And so he wanted to see them after they had obeyed what he is telling them they should do. And then chapter 2 ended with Paul writing that they shouldn't come, or that they shouldn't be like those that had come peddling God's word. There was false teaching by those that were just peddling the word of God. So we're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read the first three verses. And I need to find the scripture on that. I thought that I had it before me, and I don't. So give me just a moment to find the scripture, because I have to have the scripture to be able to teach this lesson. So give me just a moment and we'll see what Paul is saying to us in the scripture. Reading the first three verses, and I have found the scripture. So, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So, what are we learning from these verses? Paul is asking, as he starts, a question. And that question is, do we need commendation? And the answer that he gave, you are our letter of commendation or of recommendation. That's what Paul was saying. So he reassured the believers at Corinth and Achaia that they were written in Timothy's and his hearts, and they cared about the Corinthians. The believers were a letter of Christ read by all men, and it was written by the Spirit of the living God on human hearts. Now then, let's read further in verses 4 through 6. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killed, but the Spirit gives life. So, the repeated word then in these verses is adequate. Paul was confident, but he knew his adequacy or his sufficiency didn't come from himself, but God is the one that made it possible for all believers to be adequate, he and all believers. So he made Paul and Timothy adequate, sufficient as servants of a new covenant. And this new covenant is of life-giving Spirit, not the letter which kills. Now let's go on in verses 7 through 11. But if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? For if the ministry of condemnation has glory, much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory. For indeed, what had glory in this case has no glory because of the glory that surpasses it. For if that which fades away was with glory, much more that which remains is in glory. So, what is he talking about? What is the contrast here? He says that the letter killed the ministry. It's a ministry of death. It's engraved or carved on stones, but it came with glory, and that glory faded away, and it's a ministry of condemnation. The old covenant was given to Moses for Israel. Now, the contrast that he gave was the new covenant, which gives life by the Spirit, the ministry of righteousness surpassing glory. So the false teaching at Corinth had something to do with the old covenant, and this was probably referring to Judaizers. So what is the definition of glory? What does it mean? It is a divine and heavenly radiance, a brightness or a splendor. So let's see what Paul says in verses 12 through 18. Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. But their minds were hardened, for until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So, the topic, or the main thing that he is talking about here, is the veil. So Moses' face was covered by a veil to prevent Israel from seeing the glory fade. So it's talking about the glory that was in the Old Covenant. Okay? So at the time when Paul wrote, there was still a veil over their minds. And when the Old Covenant was read, the Jews of Paul's day and today, they didn't understand it. So the veil then is removed when one turns to the Lord and the Spirit gives life and liberty. And then the transformation of the Christian life begins. And the transformation of believers into the image of Christ. Now, there's several passages of Scripture, and I'm not going to read all of these, but I will kind of give a highlight on them. If you want to write down the Scriptures, you can go back after the study and read. But in the book of Exodus, through Moses, God called his people of Israel to obey him and keep his covenant. So Moses communicated what God said to the people, and they agreed to do what he said. So God spoke the Ten Commandments to his people through Moses, and Moses went up on the mountain and he wrote the words that God spoke to him. That was the book of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And when he came down to the people, sacrifices was made and the blood was sprinkled on the altar, the blood of the covenant. And then God wrote his law on tablets of stone, and Moses was on the mountain 40 days as God's glory shone from the cloud covering the mountain. And, of course, we know that when Moses returned, they were worshiping. They had made a gold calf, and they worshiped that instead of worshiping God. So Moses interceded to God on their behalf after he had broken the tablets, and he went back up to receive two more tablets of stone. And he wrote the word of God as the Lord spoke to him. And when he went down from the mountain, the Lord's presence, his face, the Lord's presence, it said that his face shone, and he covered it with a veil because the people were afraid to come near him. And the veil stayed over his face until he met with the Lord again. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that the glory of Moses' face was fading, and the veil covered that too. So, as we read through this, we see more scriptures in the New Testament. And you want to write this down, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, and chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. The law brought the knowledge of sin, but it couldn't justify the people. So, therefore, the law became death to those who couldn't keep it. And then in Galatians 3:10, those who lived by the works of the law were under a curse. And, of course, in the book of 2 Corinthians that we're reading, chapter 3, the letter referred to the old covenant, the law that kills. So let's look at some scriptures that talks about the new covenant and see the cross-reference between the old law and the new. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through 28, God promised Israel that he would make them clean and give them a new heart and a spirit. And he promised to put the spirit within them. It had only been upon them, but not within them. And then we see in Matthew 26, verses 26 and 29, that Jesus himself said that his blood was the blood of the new covenant, and it was poured out for righteousness of sin. And also the book of Hebrews refers to it as the blood of eternal covenant. And then in John 1, verse 17, and Romans 10, 1, 4, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth were realized in Jesus Christ in the end of the law. So righteousness comes by faith, not by keeping the law. Now then, let's look at John 3, 3 through 8, and 7, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again, born of the Spirit to enter God's kingdom. And all who believe in him receive his Spirit, the Holy Spirit." But the Spirit wasn't given until Jesus was glorified, his death, resurrection, and ascension to the Father in heaven. Now, in reading John 14, verses 16 through 17, Jesus said that he was going to send the Helper, and it would be with believers forever. He would be in them, not upon them. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was present, but it was upon those, but not in them. And Jesus was saying that he was going to send, after he ascended, the Helper, the Comforter, and it would be in them. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14, and as we studied in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21 through 22, we learned that believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit as a pledge, a guarantee of inheritance. And all true Christians have God the Spirit dwelling in them. So the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in believers. If a person doesn't have the Spirit of Jesus, then the person doesn't belong to Him. They are not a believer. Christians know that they are God's children because the Spirit testifies to them from within. Now, What is the goal then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18? It says, Paul said, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So, what is he saying then? To be transformed into God's image. Well, if you read, and this is more scripture, and I'm not reading it, so you want to write it down, Romans 8:29, God predestined those he foreknew to be conformed to his son's image. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, he says, when he appears, when believers see Jesus, they will be like Jesus. So, that is what Paul is saying to us here in chapter 3, that to be born again, to have Jesus living in us, to have the Holy Spirit, we must be transformed to be like Jesus. Then the veil will be removed and we will see Jesus in all of his glory, but not everything until the day that we come before him in his presence. So that concludes our study in the third lesson, chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit that lives in the hearts of every believer, that we will be transformed as we are being transformed day by day to be like Jesus. Father, that we will be obedient to your word, and that the veil that Jesus tore when he died on the cross, he tore that veil from top to bottom, assuring us that the Holy Spirit that he was sending as our helper would lead, guide, direct, teach us, and that he was putting a seal upon us as believers, a guarantee that Jesus and God are all living within our hearts, not written on stone anymore, but written in our hearts, Father. And no one can remove that. No one can remove the Holy Spirit. It's been sealed. It's guaranteed. And I pray that we will take this guarantee and we will live it out to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.